Good morning.
Good morning.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
1 John chapter 5, and that's what John's talking about. The witness. The witness. The witness of God the Father, the witness of the Son, and the witness of the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, whoever believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. And so he begins by saying, whoever believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And I believe what John is saying there is, that's an act of faith. That's an evidence of faith, faith in Jesus Christ. Because, you know, the devil believes who Jesus Christ is. He knows who Jesus Christ is. So there's more to that than just believing. He said, he who loves him who begot. God begot who? Jesus. And so we love God. We also, who begot, who gave, who produced Jesus, we also love the begotten, who is Jesus. And so real faith produces gratitude. Real faith produces gratitude to God and love for God and Jesus. You see, faith and love are really inseparable because when we're saved, the Holy Spirit pours into our hearts God's love. And so faith and love go hand in hand. They're inseparable. Verse 2, he says, by this we know that we love the children of God, believers, when we love God and we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So this is how we know that we love other believers, that you love God and you keep his commandments. You love God and you keep his commandments. That's evidence. That's witness to loving other believers. You see, loving God is defined by keeping his directions. And as the word says, they're not a burden. God's directions, God's commandments are not burdensome. They're actually a help because they're principles. God's commandments are principles for life, for everyday life. And they're useful to not burden us, but to lighten our load in faith, through faith in him. Verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Faith. Our faith. Our faith. Whatever, whoever is born of God. If you're born of God, you have, if you're truly born again, you have what it takes to overcome the world. And faith that overcomes the world is faith that sees the eternal realities of what faith is about, the eternal reality of Jesus Christ and who he is, and the eternal reality of what faith in him leads us to and the destiny that it gives us. It is faith that experiences God's power. And it's faith that moves in God's power. That's overcoming faith. That's faith that overcomes the world. It experiences God's power and it moves in God's power, not man's. Overcoming faith loves Jesus so much that the pleasures of the world and worldly values and the ways of the world and selfish materialism, when you're really in love with Jesus to the point where those things begin to lose their appeal, that's when you know your faith is overcoming. When the things of the world and in it begin to lose their appeal. As a matter of fact, It's a point where you're so in love with Jesus that you even begin to have a dislike for those things, those worldly things. Revelation chapter 2, in verse 7, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." An overcomer is born again through faith in Christ, and maintains victory over sin, maintains victory over the world system, and even over Satan. Overcomers refuse to conform to the world. Even though they're surrounded by opposition and rebellion in the world, overcomers refuse to give in to a lukewarm culture, even one that creeps into the church. Overcomers hear and they respond to what the Spirit says to the church, and an overcomer only accepts God's standard that's revealed in His Word. And this is just another reason why knowing the Word is so important, so that you know what God's standard is. If you don't know the Word, we can't know what His standard is. But it's important to know the Word so that you don't lower the standard or compromise. And we have many, we can see it in many ways and many places in the world today. And the world is full of compromise. And if you listen to the world's values and the world's systems, it is constantly trying to compromise God's principles. Revelation 12:11, he says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. You see, we either overcome sin, the world, and Satan, or those things overcome us. They will overcome us. But God has said, if you're born again, you have everything needed to be an overcomer and to maintain victory in the world and against the enemy, against the devil. They overcame him, and he's speaking here of the accuser, Satan, the accuser, who accuses you before God the Father day and night, the word says. He accuses you. He accuses the brethren before our God day and night, but he has been cast down. And so we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the blood applied by the Spirit of God and the Word of God to our lives. And those who overcome, he says, did not love their life to the death. In other words, their faith and their belief in Christ was more important than their own life. Oh, for us to get to that point. Amen? Verse 5 in 1 John 5. "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" He who overcomes believes Jesus is the Son of God. But let me say this. Belief is not in the mind only. Because as I said earlier, Satan believes who Jesus is. He knows him well because he's his adversary. But belief is not just in the mind alone. Belief is completed in the heart. Belief is completed in the heart. Romans 10 says, "With the heart one believes unto salvation." Amen. You know, we can think it and know it in our head, but when it gets into our heart, that's what becomes a belief. It becomes a true conviction. Amen. And that's what can't change. It's a conviction. Verse 6, "This is he who overcame by water and blood, Jesus, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And by water, you know, I've studied this, and there's some different views on this, or multiple views, but by water meaning referring either to Jesus' baptism in water, or his actual physical birth by water, because as a physical birth comes from water, the amniotic fluid, when a woman's water breaks. And he says by water, not just by water, but by blood, referring to his shed blood on the cross. You see, when the soldier pierced his side with the spear, the word says blood and water gushed out. The Holy Spirit is witness to him, because the Holy Spirit is truth. John 14, 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus was speaking there of the promise of the Holy Spirit to come and to fill them at Pentecost. But he speaks to him as the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. And what is John is referring to? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit brings truth. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. And the Holy Spirit manifests truth for us and in us and through us. Verse 7. 1 John, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Who is the Word? Jesus. And these three are one, the Word says. These three are one. Verse 8 says, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. The Spirit, the water representing the Word, and the blood representing the blood applied. So these three are one, Father, Son, and Spirit. And the key words here that we read in those two verses are three are one, those three are one, and those three agree as one. They bear witness to who Jesus is and to the fact that he came by water and blood. They are bearing witness to that. Verse 8 says, the Spirit, the water, which is the Word, and the blood, which is applied to our hearts by the Spirit and the Word for salvation, for faith. Verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, which he has testified of his Son. If we, John says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. So no matter what witness man can give, God's witness is greater. But you know, one of the things we see today is the witness of man sometimes is questionable at best, speaking in general terms. You see, today man's witness oftentimes today is the witnesses to adjust the word to their own lifestyle, which does anything but bear witness to Jesus. When we try to adjust the word to our lifestyle, to our comfort, or to our thoughts. You see, the word, we're supposed to adjust ourselves to the word. We're supposed to adjust our lives to God's word. And so that we bear witness, the witness of man is the witness of who Jesus is. But no matter how good a witness we are, God's witness is greater. God's witness is greater. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, he says, When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That is God's witness to who the Son is. And that witness, the witness of God, is greater than any witness of man. Amen. Verse 10, He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And he who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this is the life, this life is in his Son. And so, a person who has a real relationship with Jesus Christ has the witness of Jesus in them. They have the witness in them because they have believed God's witness of who he is and the Spirit's revelation of who he is. And so, when a person refuses God's testimony of who Jesus is, refuses to believe, it's like calling God a liar. That's what the word says. Because God's witness says he is, this is my Son, my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And when a person refuses to believe Jesus is God's Son, the Bible says it's like calling God a liar. Verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The testimony that God gives is eternal life. He gives us eternal life. If you have Jesus, you have life. Amen. If you don't have Jesus, you're dead. You're dead spiritually. You may be living physically, but you're dead spiritually without Christ. And that's God's word. That's God's testimony. He makes it really clear. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. And so the only way, that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, that's the testimony. God has given us eternal life in Jesus Christ. And the only way to have eternal life is in and through Jesus Christ, in a relationship and through a relationship with him. And that relationship comes by faith. It's by grace through faith that we're saved, the word says. And so as we think about this Christmas season and we look at all the hubbub and all the decorations and the celebrations and things, this word reminds us of what it really is about. Jesus came to life on earth to bring us eternal life. Eternal life. And so as we celebrate this season, I think it's important that we realize the testimony of who Jesus is. He's not just a character, a baby in a manger. He's alive. He's the living word. He's breath and life for us in our spirit. Yes. Yes. And so as we celebrate Christmas, know the testimony. Have the testimony and be the testimony of who he is. Verse 12 says, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That doesn't take a lot of explanation. That doesn't take a lot of explanation. He who has the Son, you have Jesus, you have life. Could we pop that back up, please? If you have the Son, you have life. Well, what does that mean? I mean, I'm living and breathing now. No, he, the life that word speaks of is the spiritual life that he brings to us. You can be talking and walking and living and breathing and still be dead spiritually. But when you have Jesus, you have true life. You have life, what he says, I came to give you life and give it to the full, the fullness of life. That's real life. But if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. You might be living, but you don't have life. You're dead spiritually. Verse 13, these things I've written to you, John says, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I've written these things to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. John says God's word and God's Spirit testify to who He is. And God's Word and God's Spirit also makes it possible for us to know that, for you to know that you have eternal life. And so if I ask you this morning, do you have eternal life? John says, how? It's through Jesus. And he says, you can know that. You know, you've heard me often say and refer to the scripture that says, God's Spirit, and I'm paraphrasing, will affirm in your spirit that you're a child of God. In other words, you know, you truly know if you're a child of God or not. You truly know if you've been born again or not. And sitting here and coming to church and listening to me and worshiping with the worship team and ushering and working in kids' church and all those awesome things that you do to serve the kingdom, those things are great. But those things don't save you. No. Those things don't get you to heaven. Eternal life comes one way. You either have the Son, Jesus, or you don't have Him. And you know, that's the thing about it. We do know. We do know. I can think of many times before I got saved, sitting in church, playing the part, pretending to be there. I was there in body, but I wasn't there in spirit, and I knew it. I knew it. Didn't tell anybody. Of course, to those that were saved and filled with the Spirit, they knew. You can't fool the Spirit. But the truth is, I knew. I knew I wasn't saved. But I was sitting in church every week. John says, I've written this so that you who believe know that you have eternal life. And I hope today that you know that you have eternal life. And this last part, he says, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Some transcripts left that out. But salvation is not just a one and done thing. And that's what that script, that rest of that verse makes me think of. Salvation is not just a one and done thing. We get saved and it's all done and we're good to go. And then we miss everything that God has for us. We miss the blessings of the Holy Spirit and His filling. We miss the blessings of walking every day with God and relating to Him and having Him show us things that only He can show us. Just getting saved and that's it. That's just the first step. That's just the beginning. But we need to continue to believe in the name of Jesus, continue to walk with Him, continue to be in His Word, to know Him more every day. So that when we come to times like this, the Christmas season, it means more than just lights and trees and decorations and gifts and those kind of things. You see, when we're really, truly plugged in and walking with Him, those things are fine, but they don't have near the appeal that He does. When we really are truly in love with Him. And so, this Christmas, if nothing else you get from any of the messages or any of the songs you hear or sing, I pray that you get this, that even for me, every day we need to be more in love with Jesus. Every day we need to be desiring, I'll put it that way. We can't work at it or work for it. We just have to desire it. And if we desire it, He'll reciprocate. He'll reciprocate. John's purpose in writing this is so that we can know, based on God's Word and the Holy Spirit's witness, that we have eternal life. And so I ask you today, do you have eternal life? Do you know that you know that you know that you know Him? Because that's really all that matters. That's really all that matters in the days and the times we're in, is that you know that you have eternal life. And as the Word says, God has given us eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so you're not going to get eternal life from memorizing Scripture, from serving in the church, for coming to every church service that the doors are open for. Eternal life comes in and through Jesus Christ. And so that is the reason for the season, as the cliche goes. But it truly is. He truly is the reason for the season. It's a matter of, do we know it, do we recognize it, and do we acknowledge it? Are we a witness to it? Because God and the Spirit and the Word witness to him, they testify to him. The question is, do we testify to him? Do we testify to him in how we celebrate Christmas and how we celebrate life and how we do life? Are we a testimony to him? Let's pray. So, as you focus right now on Jesus and who God says he is and who the Holy Spirit says he is and who the Word says he is, do you know who he is? Do you truly know who he is? Have you truly come to the point of knowing your need for Jesus Christ, your need for a Savior? And if so, have you really died to self and said, okay, God, take over. I know Jesus is who he says he is. I believe he is who he says he is. And I know I need him as my Savior. Have you gotten to that point yet? Will you truly just let go of self? Quit trying to make life happen yourself. Stop struggling and striving to do life, to have life. Everything the world offers is false. Everything the world offers is a facade. Everything the world offers is temporary. It's temporary. But God says, what I give you is eternal. It's eternal. It never ends. It lasts forever. So that when this world and this life is over, we can live with him forever and ever and ever. Just say, Lord, I need you. Lord, forgive me. And mean it in your heart. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you, and I need you, and I receive you by faith into my life. And I trust you to change my life. I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't have to be perfect. But I know I need you, Jesus. Take me. Take my life and make it yours. For the Christian, are you a witness? Are you a witness to who he is? Are you being a witness to who he is? Not by doing things, but by being a witness, being a testimony to who he is. When you have the opportunity, do you tell them what he's done in your life? The testimony of man is important. The testimony of God is the greatest. And when his testimony is in your life and in our lives, then we know that we have eternal life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Your word and your Spirit, and thank you for your blood, Jesus, applied to our lives by your word and by your spirit. God, as we celebrate this Christmas season, I pray that we'd focus on that first part of the word, Christ. And I know in the Spanish, más means more. So God, help us to look at Christmas and say, Christ more. More of Christ. More of Jesus. For us, for me, for the world. Christ more. In Jesus' name, amen.